no drama. Okay. We're recording. I'm just, you can keep going. We can warm up.
I mean, this is usually what I do alone in my room. I feel like Hank pretending I'm Adele.
Not Adele, though. Yeah,
no. I hear it in the headphones. It's not Adele.
It's not giving Adele. It's not. That's what you're shooting for, though. Hey, I mean.
I'm trying.
You know, I just.
Deep down in my soul, I will find somebody like you.
Listen. I'm out. I'm all at once Whitney Houston. The modulations and the key changes, all of it. I just go for it.
Shoot for the stars.
Always. Why not? Why not? Why sing Toni Braxton when I can sing Whitney Houston or Beyonce? R.O.C. We running this rap shit. Memphis Bleak, we running this rap shit. B-Mac, we running this rap shit. Freeway, we run this rap shit. Oh, it's Spark, we running this rap shit. Chris and Neek, we running this rap shit. Take over, the break's over, nigga. Guard MC, me, Jehovah. Hey, little soldier, you ain't ready for war. ROC too strong for y'all. It's like bringing a knife to a gunfight, pin to a test. Chest in a line of fire with your thin ass vest. You bringing them boys to men, them boys pull win. This is grown man B.I. Get you rolled in the triage, biatch. Your reach ain't long enough, dunny. Your peeps ain't strong enough, fuck up. Rockefeller is the army, better yet the navy. Niggas will kidnap your baby, spit at your lady. We bring knife to fist fight, kill your drama. We kill you motherfucking ants with a sledgehammer. Don't let me do it to your dunny, cause I overdo it. So you won't confuse it with just rap music. R.O.C., we running this rap shit. M.E.Z., we running this rap shit. The Broad Street Bully, we running this rap shit. Hello, friends.
I can't hear you in the
Oh, sorry. Let me turn that back up for you, boo. Welcome, lovely people, back to Tay's Tidbits, episode 22. 2 + 2 = 4. 4 is my number. This is divine. Hold on. I'm going to introduce you properly. You deserve a proper introduction. Stand by over there, Cub Scout. How have y'all been? I hope this message finds you well. It's not a message. I hope this episode finds you well. Y'all, I have been partying all fucking weekend. And I'm not drunk right now, but I am extremely tired. So there is that. I'm going to do my best. That is my promise to you, regardless of my exhaustion. We are here and we're going to get it done because we're adults and we can do hard things. Right?
Right.
Okay. We are commemorating episode 16 with a part two to episode 16. My cousin is here with me again. Family Matters is the name of the episode that she was on. So we are back a year later to update you guys on that episode. So I'm really excited. My cousin is here to celebrate my upcoming 40th birthday.
A lot of fours.
Four. One time.
16 divided by four is four. I keep coming on these four episodes.
Oh, my goodness. Divinity. Synchronicity. So, yes, I'm very excited. My cousin is Tahima. Welcome back.
Hi, I'm Tahima Noel.
Welcome. Welcome. They know you. They loved you. On episode 16, I got so much response from that episode. And even to this day, even though it was a year ago, I think it's the top four listened to episodes. So I'm really excited to circle back. A lot has changed in a year.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're gonna get into it. But let's talk about our weekend. Yeah, so I've been drinking nonstop since Thursday night.
Oh, I wasn't sure if we were telling the people. You said talk about our weekend, and I paused. Like,
oh no, we're telling the people. Oh, we're okay. Here. We're all going. Right, here we go. Yeah, we're here. We're going. We're going. Yeah, no holds barred. I'm about to be 40. I lost 40 pounds. I'm turning 40 years old. This is my 22nd episode. 2 + 2 = 4. My cousin was born on 8/4. You okay with me telling them the year? She was born on August 4th. 8 divided by 2 is 4. Do you see this? This is not coincidental. So this is great. All of this is magical. But yes, we have been
on our celebration shit since she got off the plane. And we knew that we had to record this episode. Initially, I wanted to do it earlier in the week, but the studio was booked. So by the time you guys hear this, I don't know. It'll only be a couple days from right now. But to celebrate the drop of the blueprint on September 11th, we started with the takeover. Naturally, one time for Jay, the blueprint, in my opinion, is one of his best albums. And I remember exactly where I was when that album dropped on that day, September 11, 2001. We're not doing that. We're not going into that. It's just too heavy. But yes, I enjoyed the takeover still to this day, like it just came out. And I was so surprised to realize that I had not used the takeover on this show yet. I don't know how that happened, but I didn't. So, again, synchronicity, it just worked. Today's 9/11. So, yes, weekend. I celebrated my birthday, which is 9/19, this weekend. With a lot of bells and a lot of whistles. And
as you deserve.
Thank you, Queen. And it was overwhelming. Just to say a little bit, it was overwhelming. I am not accustomed to so much love, being surrounded by so much love, and accepting and allowing myself to be just enveloped in that kind of energy. So it scared me a little bit, but I, even though I sobbed like a small child last night, didn't I, cousin?
We said like 7 or 8.
Oh, right? Like a 7 or 8 year old. I did. I'm proud that I allowed myself to hold space with the people who love me. So it was a great weekend that is wrapping up with recording this episode. So it's bittersweet that we're here because we had a great time. But that shit had to come to an end because I need to go to sleep.
Right. You have been keeping me up past my bedtime since I got off that plane.
Listen,
I am tired.
You didn't come to Atlanta to be a grandma like me, because you know if you were home and I was home and we were just on the phone.
Oh, girl, it's 9 o'clock.
We'd both
night.
Be like, oh, it's 9 o'clock. Let me go ahead and get in the bed. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow.
10 is late. 10 is late. If we're on the phone at 10, you're yawning or I'm yawning. Yeah, no. So we've been doing it up, but this is not something that will come again. This is my 40th birthday, and I wouldn't have wanted to share it with anybody else. So, as I've said privately, I will say publicly, thank you for being here for me and for always being there for me. I love you so very much, and I am grateful for you.
I love you, too, and I would never miss it. Never miss it. The little things and the big things.
Oh, God, right. It's just been, there's been so much that has happened this weekend that is just kind of like pivotal. Pivotal's not the right word. Poignant, maybe. That's another P word. That I know that I'll never forget. So, even though this weekend ended up being different than what I had initially planned, I've learned that the changes that come and the curveball sometimes that life can throw us can end up beautiful. If we assume that things always work out for us,
right? Then, just because it didn't work out the way you wanted it to do, doesn't mean you lost.
Definitely. Right. No, definitely did not. And the love that I felt was unmatched, because even though it wasn't from the number that I had initially thought, it was so pure that it felt like there were hundreds of people there, you know, like so it was so good. It was good for me to be able to finally step into that space of my life and to be like, you know what, you do deserve it and you do get to own it and you don't have to dumb yourself down. You get to take up space. Yeah. So at 40, I've become comfortable with taking up space finally, like superficial way, but in a very pure and honest way that is first and foremost pure and honest to myself and knowing that who I am and what I have to give is good. So therefore, I get to accept it when it's reciprocated, you know? Right. So that is that. That's just a little bit about where we have been, what we've been doing this weekend. We are going to go ahead and get into why we're here. Let's see. So on episode 16, we discussed a few different things. I think you had started your journey with therapy 3 months prior.
Four months.
So that would be almost a year and a half now that you have been in therapy. So tell us how that's been.
She's trying to break up with me. but I guess that shows my growth.
That is an amazing thing. Right. That is a beautiful thing to when your therapist suggests pulling back on sessions, putting more time in between sessions, or just not breaking up with you, but
that's
breaking up with you.
The first time she mentioned it. So that, it went from at the time I was on your show, I think I was still, it was either weekly or every other week at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about December, she mentioned going to monthly and I like panicked.
Mm.
And she was like, okay, we'll keep, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm currently in a space where for the first time I don't have a set next appointment. She's supposed to be reaching out to me mm-hmm. to see if I want to talk to her in October
mm-hmm.
is how it's going. So mm-hmm. this would be a 2 month gap and not even set in stone.
Mm.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I graduated.
You graduated. you are matriculating through cognitive behavioral therapy. And that is awesome because what happens with therapy is not just sitting with somebody and just talking through your feelings, right? Mm-hmm. They, as professionals, offer you tools.
Right.
You know, you offer them information, stories, experiences, you know, pain, loss, whatever, good times, you know, all you have all kinds of conversations, and they in return or in exchange should be able to give you tools to cope. For me, that was what it was. And I too graduated. I haven't seen my therapist in months, and I have not felt like I was in crisis because she gave me so many different ways to soothe myself. I think that a lot of us are not taught, for whatever reason, maybe we aren't cared for properly as children or what have you, but I know that soothing, the word is self, S-E-L-F, self, I can't talk, Jesus. Self-soothing was a struggle for me. And I didn't know how to properly care for myself in moments of pain mm-hmm. or issue or, you know, challenges. So going through therapy, she taught me that I have everything that it takes to take care of myself. That I don't need to reach outside of myself for something to soothe me, because that was my default. Mm-hmm. It may have been like people or alcohol or, but it was always like me not knowing that it was in me to care for myself and that I could sit with myself and I could allow myself the space to cry or to be angry or to be sad or to miss somebody. And like, exist in a healthy way instead of trying to push it away or force it away or, you know, do something to make it stop.
Right.
Right. So that was one of the benefits for me of going through therapy, was that she reinforced for me over and over and over and over those tools.
Right. Can I jump in?
Yes, absolutely.
Because for me, it was decision making. Looking back, right, the panic that I felt was because I was leaning on her. I was using her as a crutch in my decision-making processes. So every time something happened in my head, it was, oh, I have to talk to her about this. I have to talk to her about this. And the more time she put in between our sessions, the more I would forget what I felt like I needed to talk to her about and have to just deal with it myself. And so then the sessions became, okay, let me report to you what decisions I've made and what I've been doing. And she would validate me, but it became less and less because I needed to be validated myself. Ultimately, the issue was I didn't trust myself to make the right decisions for myself.
So somewhere along the line of your interactions with her, she empowered you to make decisions on your own. Right. So she gave you the tools,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
So she I don't know what she used, how she used it, but somewhere she probably continued to affirm you in those moments, and that's what they do. So when we are with them, they affirm who we are, they remind us of what we can do and what's possible, and then when they step away, those things begin to come into play, and right. It's like, oh, wait, yo, she said I could do this. Oh, you know, so you start to remember, and then the brain starts to make connections between these things and whatever the tools are. So you grab your journal, or you put on a meditation, or you go for a walk, you know? It's not like, oh my God, you know, that anxiety that you feel in your chest, like this thing is going to overtake me. It's like, right. No, I have tools. Hold on. Let me do some deep breaths. Let me call a friend. Let me watch a funny movie. Let me, you know, take a bath. So you start to put those things in place. And then what you don't realize that you're doing is you're putting that distance in between you and her, because what you thought that you were getting from her, now you are able to give it to yourself.
Right.
So the process is so amazing in that way, because it is built. It's set up for us not to need them anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was, I believe it was you as well who helped me. You said nobody on this earth has ever been to HEMA. So you can't mess it up.
You can't mess it up.
Because nobody's done this before.
There's no playbook.
Right. And that was my fear. That's what kept me from making decisions. I always felt like I would do the wrong thing. I would check with six different friends about the same issue to get a consensus of, okay, this is the next step I need to make. Instead of just trusting that, no, I know what is best for me and move from there. Mm-hmm. And once she saw me doing that, it was like, okay, I can step back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And because when we do that, we get to blame other people when it doesn't work.
Hell,
mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It keeps us in victim mode, yeah. Because it's like, oh, well, this is this. I don't have to be accountable. I don't have to be responsible. If I'm doing what you told me to do and it doesn't work, it's not me. You know what I'm saying? It's mm-hmm. not my fault. So that makes me, by sheer definition, a victim to my circumstances. But if I make a decision and then it doesn't work out, then I have to sit with myself.
Right.
And acknowledge, oh, I fucked up, which is fine, right?
Right.
But when we don't know how to do that, then we avoid that at all costs. Right. I don't want to have to be the one responsible for my life falling to pieces. I want to make it somebody else's fault. I want to blame somebody else. That way, it's not me feeling empowered enough to look at my life and take responsibility for, again, my decision making. Because, right, we... on this podcast, I say it all the time. Life is about choices. Mm-hmm. That's the good news. The bad news is life is about choices. So when shit falls apart, you really only got you. You have to come to a point where you sit with yourself and you're like, maybe I didn't need four pairs of shoes. Maybe I should have put some money in the bag. You know, it's the honesty of it all. It's not the judgment and the beating yourself up, because I know what that looks like. And for so long, I was like, how do I maintain being honest with myself and not being overly critical and judgmental? I didn't know how to compartmentalize those things. But now I do know. I know that being judgmental and critical is never beneficial. I can be honest with myself, though, and I can be honest with myself in grace, because we are always doing the best that we can with what we have. At every given moment, at every given station that we find ourselves in life. So we always deserve compassion. Even if we learn a whole bunch of shit and regress and backslide and completely lose our minds, you still deserve grace. Something is being, you know, we're still healed. Doing the right. We're doing the best that we can with what we have. So we're always supposed to forgive ourselves and to allow ourselves to just live life. Now, that's not to say that it excuses consistent, I don't want to use the word bad, but consistent questionable decision making. We'll say questionable. But even there's even a lesson in that, right? Because if the same shit keeps happening over and over, what's the common denominator? Is it the job? Is it the boyfriend? Is it the if everybody has, it's okay, maybe there's something else going on here. But that acknowledgement in and of itself is powerful, because the moment you acknowledge that is you, you can change it.
Right.
Choices, right? But if you're always hyper focused on what is going on outside of you, whether, oh, they just, everybody hates me on my job, and, you know, family, this person, this, and, you know, husband, boyfriend, whatever, this, and the kids, like the dog, nobody can do anything right. And you never take the opportunity to say, am I playing into any of this? Then that is what is always going to be the case for you. And you never really give yourself the gift, because it is a gift to take your power back.
Oh my goodness, yes, because I was just thinking, every time I hit something now, whether it be a discovery of a flaw or a trigger or something that points out you still need to work on this part here, I get excited instead of beating myself up, because I want to be where I am most of the time now, where I wasn't, right? Mm-hmm, most of the time, mm-hmm. I am at peace. And peace, people used to talk about protect your peace, but when you feel it, when you really feel like life is good, life is great, like my life, I'm doing what I was put here to do now. Instead of focusing on the things that I don't have or the things that I can't do, there's a peace and joy in that that nobody else could give me. That's coming from within. And so whenever that peace gets shaken by something, I don't let it rock it. I observe it and go, that, okay, I need to work on that. I'm gonna fix that too. Mm-hmm. So then one day I'm gonna be waking up in peace all day long for days at a time.
That is the opposite of a victim mentality. That is the exact antithesis,
I got you, cousin.
Thank you. What the fuck? Of feeling like life is happening to, it's the difference between feeling like life is happening to me and life is happening for me. When I understand that whatever comes, no, what I was going to say that I want you to remember, there are always going to be things that happen to disrupt your peace. So if you do feel, you know, that disruption, like you said, just let it pass, because you will always come back to that baseline, which now for you is that peaceful place. You not being in that doesn't mean anything's wrong. Just means you're a human being living life. It's always going to be like this. There's ebbs and flows. It's always going to be that. So just know that.
Know.
You're going to have days where you're like, what the fuck? And just know, okay, well, today is Monday. Tomorrow will be better. I'm going to let today, Monday, 1, Tahima, 0. Cool, you got this. Tomorrow, I'm kicking your ass because you don't get 2 days. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because we get to decide. But when you know that, and you know that you are the one who holds the power to make the decisions, to say the right things, to make the judgment calls, then you no longer feel saddened by life and the circumstances of life, right, and the, you know, the things that happen in life that aren't favorable, if you will. You know, like, yeah, I can think the thoughts that create the things that I want.
Right.
That's all I have to worry about. All I have to bring myself back to is, what am I thinking? That's it. No matter what it is. If you're starting to feel anxious or upset or worried, okay, I'm triggered. What am I thinking about this? And when you begin to be an observer of those thoughts, like I talked about on the last episode, and realize, oh, okay, no wonder I've been feeling anxious all day long. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, the worst case scenario, you know, what if I'm, you know, whatever, what if this happens? Or then you understand why you feel that you know, disruption in your peace. So you level, right? You start to affirm, you start to, you know, write things down, and you start to truly focus on shifting back to what you want. This is what I want. This is not what I want. So I don't need to be thinking about this because right. I don't want this. So I want this to go away. Let me shift my thoughts and my focus back to what it is that I want. And then all of a sudden you feel that harmonious energy and that peace comes back. It all comes from what we're thinking. So, but you know that now.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't have to fear anything, because even the worst of worst, which we've lived through the worst of worst, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
We survived them. You know it's going to pass. You know it's temporary. You know that you have the power to shift it and that it did not come to overtake you.
And even when, because I don't think I've ever, because my worst case scenarios were always wild and way out there. So I don't think I've ever encountered my worst case scenario. But even when the bad, bad things came, and when I look back and realize that I didn't really lose, that I actually won, that if that didn't happen, then I wouldn't be XYZ. Mm. Yeah, you don't have to live in fear of whatever's coming, because you know whatever's coming is working out for me.
Right.
It's going to get me to where I need to be.
That all that life is always happening for me and not to me. I am always in a position to look at my life and ask questions. My dear listeners, it's 28 minutes in, but I do want to shout out everyone listening to this podcast. We're no matter where you are, whether you're in the States or you're overseas, I truly appreciate you guys listening and coming back for another episode. Are you laughing at me?
No.
Oh, I know that the last three episodes have been guests. I do want you to know this is not a co-host type of situation. It's still just me. But what I do want to do, and what I was intentional about going into this second half, I guess the season two, I'll call it, was allowing space for stories. I want to share space with other human beings, and I want to hear their stories. So that is why Precious was on episode 20, Lisa was on episode 21, and now Tahim is on episode 22. It brings me a lot of gratification to hear other people's stories. I love it so very much. It's one of my favorite things to do, just listen to stories. I would venture to say I'm a storyteller. I never call myself that. Oh, here's the 40. Oh, I don't know what. I never. Okay. Magical. That'll work. We'll keep that magical.
Try cute. I like it.
So, hearing what people have been through, why people are the way that they are, it gives me a lot. And I think it serves the purpose of this podcast, because it sends the message that we are more alike than we are different.
The way I knew you were about to say that.
Of course you do.
Wild.
She's literally me. We're the same fucking person. It's kind of crazy. So let's keep moving. So we were also discussing your recent breakup, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That drove
me
to therapy.
She seemed like she wanted. Oh, yes.
My whole life was changing. Yeah.
Yes. So I speak to Tahima every single day. So this information comes to me in real time. So it's very easy for me to move information to the back of my mental Rolodex, because I'm getting so much new information because we talk all of the damn time. So yes, the breakup is what sparked the therapy journey.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want you to speak to how your dating life has been. Juicy. I ain't telling them about mine, so or lack thereof. Where's the sad one?
What kind of shit is that?
Exactly. The fuck?
That was perfect.
Just kidding. Because what's gonna happen is gonna be like, is this bitch married? Like, she said she didn't have a boyfriend. Wait for it. How many carats is the ring gonna be, Tahima?
Ooh, don't ask me stuff I don't know nothing about.
You
I
do know.
I don't know. Oh, four. Duh. Can I ask the editor to leave that out?
Nope. So, no. So you don't have to get into specifics of your dating life. Absolutely not. But I do want you to...
This is not that kind of podcast.
No, it's not. It's not. We're here to help, to offer.
Was that shade? Wait a minute.
No.
We're here to help. We ain't going to tell the people what you've been up to. We're here to help them.
No. Focus.
My bad.
It's the mimosas and tequila.
You listen.
Okay. No, I don't. That's not where I was going. I want you just to talk about your mindset from being fresh off the heels of the breakup versus now.
Okay. So I think sometime around when we recorded the last episode together, I'd written in my diary, because I am a person that goes back and rereads diary. I'm grown. My journal.
I like diary.
You like diary? I'm going to take that soundboard away from you.
So. No. I'm incorporating it into the show. This is my shit. I can do what I want.
Amen. So I was looking back into my journal and I saw that I wrote the words, I was miserable, and I didn't even recognize it as misery. And, you know, it hit me that I had spent my entire adult life living for other people. And, you know, as children, we live for other people because you're conditioned to. You're supposed to be making mom proud, dad proud, you know, doing what you're supposed to do.
Because children are egocentric, ego-focused, naturally.
Right. Mm-hmm. But when you turn 18 is when you're supposed to step out into the world and discover who you are and make decisions for yourself. And I decided to get married at 18. And had been a wife by the time, my 21st birthday was a baby shower. So I was somebody's mother and somebody's wife at 22. And then was single after my divorce, maybe a year and a half, maybe 2 years, before I jumped right back into a committed long-term relationship. So here I was at 37. I guess I just told my age. Here I was at 37, having never lived as an adult for myself. So, I mean, my dating life is fun and everything, but what I am learning is to make decisions that are best for me, even when they hurt. Because I'm never going back there. I'm not going back to miserable and can't see it.
We were speaking briefly the other day about how easy it is for people to conflate dysfunction with normalcy. You know, like what it is that we do on a daily basis is what we deem to be normal. The norm. Our norm. We may see things on television and know that other people don't live like this, but because that is what we are conditioned to do, that is what we deem to be norm. So if being miserable is my consistent state of existence, I don't know that that is not the only way that I can live, because that may have been my baseline for so long. So when you bring awareness, if you will, to the fact that I don't have to be sad all the time, or I don't have to, for me, be mean to myself. Oh, there has to be a better way. I know that this is the way I've always done it, but there has to be a different way. For some people, right? Other people, no, they never come to that understanding. They just continue to go through life thinking that misery is the only option for them, which is very, very sad when you think about it.
Right.
Right. But I think for you, you acknowledged, yes, this is what I've been doing, and I have been so numb to it. Like, what did you say? You said I was miserable and didn't even
recognize.
Why? Because it's familiar.
Right.
So it was like, this is, yeah, okay, you know. I didn't even recognize that this was what was happening in my life. I just accepted it to be love or partnership, right, or, and the whole time it was just bringing me misery.
Right. And I want to emphasize here that my ex is not a bad man. He's a great man. And still in my children's life, I feel so blessed for the fact that he is still in their lives. And, you know, that was one of my biggest fears when we were breaking up. But I was so used to being neglected that when neglect continued, it was the norm, and it was me that I felt like was wrong. Like, this is, you're in a relationship. This is, you're supposed to be happy. This is what you have been looking for. Mm. You've got commitment. You've got a future. You've got all of this stuff. You're ungrateful if you're unhappy, you know? Mm. And it's just like, no, when you realize you deserve everything you want, like, write it all down, make a list, everything you want, and I'm not stopping till I get it all.
There's a lot to unpack there. You just said a lot there. Okay, let me start with, there was so much that was just coming up as you were speaking, because first, let's talk about how, for whatever reason, and I don't know if this is just a woman thing or a people thing or a black woman thing. I'm a black woman, so I can only speak from the perspective of a black woman. But being almost forced into accept what you know, what you get, and you should just be happy, and you know, you should be seen and not heard, and you don't, you know, speaking up and that's a good enough. Like, you aren't being abused. You aren't being cheated on. Right. What are you complaining about? Like, I had many people ask me, like, you getting divorced? Why? Like, you speak so highly of your ex. Why are you? And again, I don't have anything. So that's the first thing. Just in a general, like, way, we're very much like, oh, I'm just gonna take what I can get, and I'm not gonna ask for more, and I should be grateful, and, you know, this is it's that lack mentality, it's that victim mentality, it's the dumbing yourself down, shrinking yourself, making yourself, playing small, right? That's the energy that is. So it's never like, well, I can make decisions that are best for me regardless of if this person is not physically harming me.
Right.
If it doesn't work for me, that's enough to walk away from it.
It doesn't have to be catastrophic to end it. I didn't go on a second date with a guy because he got plain ice cream at Cold Stone Creamery.
Listen.
And I was like, what?
Listen.
You no toppings, sir?
Listen.
Okay, this has been a lovely evening.
Shantae, why are you, I don't understand. Like, you always talk about, like, you're just not dating. And yeah, because I will get up in the middle of a date if you say something crazy to me. Like, I'm just, that is where I am. I love myself too fucking much to be bothered with bullshit. I am okay. Trust me, I am okay. I am not out here doing this shit by myself because I have to. Let's be very fucking clear. I'm gonna stop right there because y'all know I'll go. Y'all know I don't need much. The second part of that, I think we were going into it. Yes, if something doesn't work, you get to say no, but we don't know how to do that. We aren't given permission to do that. We're told to hold on to stuff and to make it work and to figure it out and to fix it. And I'm not saying that there aren't situations where you shouldn't buckle down and figure it out and fix it, but there are also situations where you should pack your shit and leave. And that's it. Two things can be true, right? It's not always this or that. Sometimes it is, this worked and now it doesn't. And while it worked, it was cool. And then when it stopped working, we make different decisions.
Because at one point it worked because it served who I was at that time.
Right.
But if you're growing, if you're healing, if you're changing, suddenly those things that used to work for you,
they don't seem to work anymore.
Right.
They don't fit.
Right.
It feels even worse, right? As you begin to grow and change, it begins to feel worse. And you have to, it's even more like it was a physical drive to move on.
Because if I'm affirming that I deserve the very best, and I am consistently allowing someone in my life to treat me like trash, then I make myself out to be a liar.
And not even like trash. Like less than a priority.
No, I'm just saying in general. Yeah. Not in that situation. I'm moving on a little bit, but kind of maybe let's just say it's a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so let me be clear for semantics. When I think of like anything less than I deserve to me is like trash. Like,
okay.
just be clear, okay? I said filet mignon. I didn't say New York strip. I don't even eat steak, y'all, but analogies. So if I'm allowing this energy that I know, okay, I'll reword it. If I'm allowing this energy that doesn't serve me to exist, then something is lying. Either my affirmation is, so I have to go and figure out where the lie is, because if that is who I am affirming that I am, then I have to exist in that energy. Otherwise, my brain is like, you're a liar, right? Mm-hmm. I can't affirm that I deserve the very best and then allow someone to treat me badly, because my subconscious is going to reject the affirmation that I deserve the very best. Mm-hmm. If I affirm that I deserve the very best, then I have to make choices that align with that affirmation. I can't let you treat me badly. I deserve the best. I deserve the best. I deserve the best. Right? Then the evidence to your brain says, you deserve the best. Then you start to experience less and less of people treating you badly. But in the beginning, when you're doing the work of changing your mindset and the way that you think, you have to be intentional about what it is that you allow in your space, because it's so very important for that transitionary period when you're starting to think differently and think differently. You don't want to regress and pull yourself backwards by still entertaining the stuff that was in your old life, because then you're just telling your brain, we don't want to change. Mm. We don't want anything new. Right. We want that. We want to keep the job where they didn't do right by us. We want to hold on to the relationship that no longer serves us, right? So when you make those decisions, like the post that you showed me energetically, you put that vibration out into the universe that, oh, this is what the expectation is. Greatness, abundance, wealth, love, you know, so that is what you begin to attract. God darn. But you have to understand that even those hard decisions to walk away from stuff, because you know me, I have been similar to you in a lot of ways, holding on to shit far longer. And I'm sure that that's not just our story, right? I'm sure lots of people, because boundaries, and we struggle therein, saying no, putting ourselves first, opening up our mouths and asking for what we want. You know, y'all know this, what I'm saying is not funny. She is funny. So, I don't know if it's like not being given permission to, or not feeling comfortable, but I think a lot of it is that. I think a lot of it is the training and the allowance, because when we're shown certain things early on, it's not a struggle later on in life. Right. Yeah. When we get to the point of where we are at, you know, almost 40 and 40, and we're figuring shit out, it's because we weren't given those tools early on. See, our children won't have to have these conversations.
Right.
Because they're being given the tools that we weren't given at 12 years old and 17 years old. Right. You know, so that's the difference. I mean, it is what it is. We're here. Praise God. So I don't resent my life, and you know, I'm just glad that I got here, because I do realize that some people close their eyes on this life having never come to the understanding that they deserve an amazing life, that they don't have to deal with anything that doesn't serve them. nothing. No thing. I'm not. And it does not matter to me whether or not 100,000 people are in agreement. I don't care. This is my life, and I choose to believe that I can have everything that I want. Everything. There's nothing off limits for me. There's no ceiling. There's no, you know, this is it. You get to this point and that's it. No, I see just complete and total greatness for my life and for every generation that comes behind me. So that's just where I am with it. And I've always been a dreamer. I've always been the person, the little girl who's just, you know, the imaginary whatever house or car, or as far as long as I can remember thoughts, which would that probably be around four or five, we start mm-hmm. to remember. I remember being that person that would just sit and be like, I'm just going to live in this kind of house and I'm going to do. And I don't believe that's a coincidence. I believe that it's always been for me to manifest the life that I want through my imagination.
Right.
So
I manifested my marriage. Listen, when I realized what manifesting was and how I've been doing it by accident my whole life.
Manifestation, the word manifest means to be revealed. So if you have a brain, you are manifesting. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts are creating what is. So it's not a thing that you do.
Right.
When you consciously do it, the only thing that means is that you pay attention to your thoughts. You don't just let them run on autopilot. Right. That's the only difference. Every single human being manifests.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, you see someone who lives a life of esteem and wealth. That's because somewhere and along the line, they were taught that that is what they deserve.
Right.
It wasn't magic. It wasn't hard work. So because before we would believe, oh, well, that person lives in a nice house and they drive. They must work hard. No, they believe that they deserve to live like that. It's a belief that drew that to this. Anybody can have anything. So you can look at it and be like, oh, that's a nice car. I would like to drive that. Then start to think about, see yourself driving it. Why can't you? What makes you any different than somebody else? Oh, well, they went to school and they got this many degrees and okay. There are people, how many degrees does Oprah have? How many degrees does Ellen have? There's always a way. It's not about the accolades or the degree but that's what I used to think. Like, oh, it's because I didn't finish college, or it's because I don't have this. No, it's because you don't think that you should have that. You don't have to change anything outside of you. All you have to do is change what you think. And that's why we see stories of people who didn't go the traditional route, who have somehow manifested this life that just seems so amazing. It's because there is a thought that is what they are worthy of. For whatever reason, however it happened, whether it was in childhood or whether they, you know, somewhere along the line started to become conscious of their thoughts or their mindset. But yeah, that's the only difference. And just remember that with anything that you may see someone else with that you want. You can have it. And that's why I say stories, right? Because when you talk to people, you don't have to talk to somebody about manifestation or, you know, thought transmission or any of that. You just have to listen to them talk. If you listen to them and they start talking to you and you'll hear how they feel about themselves. They're going to tell you exactly. And you, like we were talking about, I was watching a little baby documentary and he was like, yeah, I used to dream that I was gonna be a millionaire when I was a kid. So all you have to do is listen. That's why I love people's stories, because what I want to do, I want to hang around people who are where I want to be. Because if I talk to them enough, they're going to tell me how they got there. And I'm just going to be like, oh my gosh, like, okay. Soup to nuts, chapter and verse, like this is what it is. And trust me, it ain't that they worked 100 hours a week. It's hard work and you just got to buckle down. No, that is not it. I'm not saying that people who have certain things don't work hard. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that hard work is not what is going to bring you the life that you want. It is your thoughts.
Because there are plenty of people who work very hard.
who are
and don't have it.
In lack and poor mm-hmm. because of their mentality, not because of their bank account. So if you look at it that way, back to what you were saying, you should feel empowered. You yeah. should, because nothing outside of you was ever supposed to dictate anything inside of you. I don't care how they treat you. If you don't like how they treat you, think about what you deem to be the treatment that you are deserving of. That's where the issue is. I promise you that's where it is. And if you address that root, you will never have an issue. Doesn't mean, oh, everybody's gonna treat you amazing, but you'll know, damn, I'm not gonna keep attracting the same energy over and over in a different body. Mm-hmm. So the person at my job is disrespectful, my partner is disrespectful, my children are disrespectful, why is disrespect present in my life? Because you disrespect yourself, Shante. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So then I understand that I get to adjust how my life shows up based on how I treat myself. You're rude to yourself. You're mean to yourself. You judge yourself. You beat yourself up. You kick yourself. You curse yourself out. You don't give yourself space to do anything wrong. Are you really asking me why disrespect is present in your life? Mm-hmm. Back to you.
Back to me, what about
me? I feel like I was rambling, so I tossed it back to you, yeah, Jack.
Know, I know why you always say you are never rambling. I just be sitting here listening. I forgot we were on a podcast. I'm like, it is spitting right now.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you so much. I appreciate every single one of y'all that listen to this show. I would like to thank again everyone who attended my birthday dinner last night. I'm so blessed. It's the only word I can think about. I feel fortunate. I feel blessed. And I think it not robbery that people show up for me in the way that they do. I think I am humbled by it. It does. It makes me feel small because I understand that love as a force is so much bigger than me. And it's amazing to know that the love that I am given, I can also give, right? Because everything is an exchange. Things are supposed to, nothing's supposed to stop with you. And energy is ever in motion. It never dies. So if I am receiving love, I am able to give love. I'm able to come on this show and I'm able to, you know, offer information. I'm able to be a great parent. So it blesses me to receive that type of energy. I don't view it in a selfish way. I view it as being beneficial just on a large scale. I'm a better person because love exists around me and within me. So thank you guys so much. The gifts, the conversations, the jokes, the laughs. It was a beautiful night. And then brunch today was also great. I'm happy, cousin.
I'm so happy to be here. My spirit is always happy when I'm around you, though.
I can say the same thing about you. I am healthier because our relationship exists. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've cried enough this weekend. I'm not doing it anymore. I couldn't even take no cute pictures because I'm like, oh, these eyes look puffy.
The lies. I need you to go to her Instagram right now. Couldn't take any cute
at
pictures.
@ I am Shante _ shameless plug. Follow
every single
me.
One of them.
Follow me. Follow Tay's Tidbits. If you're not following me, what are you doing? Follow me. Please follow me on Instagram, TikTok. I don't know what my TikTok is. Sorry, y'all. But yes, I have so much content to post from this weekend. And I'm just like.
And y'all going to be on there like Khaled. Another one.
Another one.
Just hot picture after hot picture. She doesn't miss.
Dylon.
I spit hot fire.
So. Career, do you want to touch on that?
I would get out of my head.
I'm never getting out of your head.
I was thinking, I'm like, oh, we never talked about what we said we were going to talk about.
We do this all the time.
My career changed.
All the time. So like, yeah. Literally all the fucking time.
Like at dinner.
Like.
When we said the same thing at the same time.
And they were like, oh, yeah, y'all related. Yeah, we do it all the time. Like, all the time. Something will happen and my mind will tell me exactly why. And then I'll speak to her and she'll be like, yeah, I didn't do it because of it. And I've already known. I already know. It's weird. It is. It's not really many other people in life where I can say that happens to. It is an energetic connection. Seriously, for real. But anyway, yes, go ahead.
So I think shortly after the last episode, I applied for a different position in my career. So it would be a move. And I didn't get it. And I realized afterwards that I could not see myself in the position. Like, I couldn't visualize it. And most of the jobs that I've had is because I could visualize myself doing it. So the position came up again, not the exact same position, but a position similar. And I applied for it. And this time I could see I wrote down my goals, what I would do when I was in the position. That interview was 12 minutes long. They told me I was going to have to interview a second time with the director. They called me up and said, oh, no, we're putting your name forward. You won't have to do the second interview. It's yours. Excuse me, what? The first one was a panel of like 9 people. This time, nope, you're good.
We already knew you were hired. Right. We just actually have to do this interview because, you know, formalities. Yeah, but
I gotta interview these other people. But I firmly believe it was because I could see myself doing it this time. Hmm. I could see myself in those shoes. I could see myself considering in that role. And then I also went and got a new second job because why stop there?
I saw a post earlier. And I'll share it with you when we get out of here. But on TikTok, she was talking about those things that we consider to be methods, like visually, all of that is affirmations. Affirmations is not a method. It's not, when you visualize, you're affirming the job is mine.
Right.
It's just not saying the job is mine. I have the job. But when you visualize yourself doing something or having something or being something, you're affirming that this is what belongs to me.
Right.
So that's all you did. Not that's all you did. I'm not minimizing it. It's right. Huge. But it's incredibly powerful if it's truly understood the way it's supposed to work. The reason why we think and we are to see ourselves in certain situations and living the life that we want to live, because what we're telling our brains is, this is mine. This is what I deserve. This is what I want. This is who I am. This is the job that I will be in. And it's the same as saying, I'm loved, I'm worthy. It's the same thing for our brains. That's how the message is translated. I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. Okay. Got anything else you want to say?
Yes. I would like you all to follow me as well. I am also a podcaster now.
My podcast is
Living Literally with Tahima Noel. You can follow me at Live Lit Podcast on both Instagram and Twitter.
I'd like to think that you being here made you comfortable enough to take that step.
Okay. You can have that. I'm definitely much more comfortable on the mic now than I was when we sat down. That first time.
Oh, yes. I understand. Because I get it. I totally get it. Thank you so much for being here with me today, cousin. I appreciate it.
I'll see y'all next year.
Next year.
This is going to be an annual thing.
This is an annual thing. We're going to do an episode a year, the two of us, and we'll just continue to catch you guys up and update you guys. And I really enjoy sharing space with you in this way because you know me so well. And because we share so many of the same experiences in real time, being able to come back next year, God willing, and discuss what the year has brought us. Yeah. Amen. That's all I got, guys. Thank you again for tuning in to episode 22 of Tay's Tidbits. Again, you guys can follow me. You can find me on Instagram at at underscore I am Shantae underscore. That is my personal page, and you can find all of the podcast information from there. Be good to yourself. Promise me you will be good to yourself. Be kind to yourself. Always love yourself above all. You deserve the very best. You truly do. There's nobody who deserves more than you do. You deserve it. Give it to yourself. Be nice to yourself. Give yourself a break. Do something nice for yourself. And I don't mean necessarily getting your nails done, or if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But take some time out of every single day to devote to yourself, whether it's 10, 15 minutes. Maybe it's stretching. Maybe it's yoga. Maybe it's walking. Maybe it's running. Maybe it's, I don't know what it is, but give it to yourself. You deserve that. And then you show yourself that you are worthy of great things and great energy, and that's what you'll start to attract. I want that for you. I love you so much. I look forward to hearing from you guys. Reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you, your feedback from this episode. You guys are always so generous with your feedback, and I really appreciate it. Until next time, lovely people, do no harm, but take no shit. And this is only, you know, Katima chose this. This is like only right.
This a reminder.
My sis, ooh, cause she comfortable, comfortable in my skin, cozy with who I am, comfortable in my skin, cozy, cozy.